Good morning, friends. How are you? Hi, Raul. FYI, I have a little bit of blood pressure issues. I could just lean against this, but I don't like to. But sometimes I have a problem when I'm just standing in one place. So if I'm walking around a lot, or even if I kind of like sit at some point, my restlessness is not only because I have ADD. It's a health thing. So just, I hope it's not distracting for you if I'm moving around a lot. So anyways, if we've not met before, my name is Charlie Salamone. I'm the lead pastor of Preaching and Multiplication here. That's my new title. Very happy to have it. But what are we doing today? It's a new year. It's a new season. We're going to be actually beginning a new series, a new preaching series. We're going to be beginning that. But before I tell you where we're headed, let's remember for a moment where we've been. What have we been doing thus far? What is the series that we've been in for the past 6-7 months? The Psalms. And what's been the name of our series? There's a Psalm for that. Yes, the Psalms. There's a Psalm for that. And if I can say, I have loved this series. In this series, we've learned how to sing with our hearts. I've loved this series. I don't want it to end. And in fact, there's like 150 psalms. So from time to time, we're going to go back there, okay? From time to time, we're going to go back to the psalms. So if, like you, you've loved the psalms and you don't want the series to end, I'm with you. Actually, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking today. Can we do just one more? Please, can we do just one more psalm? We can. And my hope today actually was that we could do a psalm that would kind of put a bow on the series we've done, to kind of summarize it all, to kind of take the main thing that God has been teaching us for 6, 7, 8 months. If we could find a psalm that just summarizes all of that, and also a psalm that kind of hands us over and transitions us into our next series, which I haven't even told you what it is yet. Is there a psalm for that? Is there a psalm that could do that, that could summarize where we've been and maybe prepare us for where we're going? Good news, there is a psalm for that. Psalm 95, that's what we're going to do today. But before we head into that psalm, I'm going to say a prayer. Father God, oh, you are with us. You are absolutely with us, God. And I pray that now that is evident, on display. That's something we can perceive. Your Spirit alive with us, leading us, caring for us, God. I pray that you would speak to us now, Lord. Remind us of this truth. Speak this truth to us, Jesus. We ask this in your name, amen. Psalm 95, let's go ahead and read the first 5 verses. It goes like this. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. This is so good because right away in verse 1, we see kind of what we've been aiming to do for this entire series. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. It says, to the rock of our salvation. It goes on and says, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. This is something that we have learned, we have seen. Let us sing for joy to the God who saves us, to the God who is above all gods, to the Almighty God who saves us. Let us sing for joy. Not singing is relatively easy, okay? It's not just about singing. This series has been about the psalms, about the songs. That's what psalms are, about the songs in Scripture. And it's about singing with joy in the heart. That is what we've been learning how to do, how to sing with joy. And sing with joy to the God who saves us, the rock of our salvation, the God who is above all gods. So, summarize the first thing I want you to know today. Our assignment, what we've been learning all this time, what we've been learning is how to sing with joy. How to, not just with our lips, but in our heart, songs of joy. And more specifically, how to sing in the wilderness. And we'll get to that. That's been the big message that we've been learning. How to live this life in this present world as it is, with a song in our heart, with a song of joy in our heart. For this, mark it, my first point today, this is our assignment. This is our call, to walk in this life with a song of joy in our heart, a song of joy to the God who saves us, to the Almighty God who saves us. Our assignment is to sing with joy in our heart. And this is more than simply our assignment. This is our gift. This is the gift for us. If I could leave this psalm for just a moment, I want to show you a verse from the New Testament. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It goes like this. Though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What I just read is you are receiving. Not you will receive, but you are receiving now. Present tense. Let me break it down for you. This joy, this song in our heart, the assignment we have to sing with joy, this joy is because we are receiving salvation now. Now, let me break it down. Let me explain something. The promise of salvation, the gift is, in part, a material blessing. As in, there is a land of promise. Just as it was for them, and we're going to be going back Old Testament, we're going to be recounting some stuff. So if this is new for you, I will explain. But just as it was for them in the days of Moses, when they walked through the wilderness towards the land of promise, towards the land of milk and honey, the land, the material place where their bodies could rest, just as there was a material blessing for them, so it is, there is a material blessing for us, and that is in the future. As in, God takes care of us now in many ways, but the great material rest is something that will be realized when Jesus returns and our bodies are resurrected from the ground. There is a material hope that we have. There is a material salvation in the future. There is a material place of rest that we are headed towards, the land of promise. We are headed there. Amen? That is the salvation we are looking forward to. Yesterday, my wife said, she was... I don't remember the context, but she was talking about how when she was little, she would learn about heaven or hear about heaven, and she had a reaction I think a lot of people have of like, well, I kind of like this place. It's not so bad. Like, I don't really necessarily look forward to heaven because this place I like. And the good news is heaven is going to be here. This world is not something we're going to leave for another world. The material blessing that we will have will be here in a world that is renewed, in a world that is healed, a world without death, without suffering, without pain, but it's going to be here. It's going to be a better place. That's the end of the story. That's the future material salvation that we have. But now, in the present, there's an internal salvation that we have. The internal salvation of knowing the God who knows us, of knowing the God who takes care of us, who loves us. That is the salvation we have now. And that is why the inexpressible joy is now, because that salvation is now. We're receiving it now. The material rest is later, on the day of resurrection, when Jesus returns. But the spiritual rest begins now for all who believe. Though the outside life that we walk in may be difficult, the promise we have is sure, and the God who is with us is sure. Now, salvation can be tasted. And that's why we sing. We sing because salvation is at hand. Indeed, it is here. God, in our hearts, salvation to be tasted. Therefore, we sing. We sing because God is with us. So all that to say, once more, the first point for today, our assignment is to sing. Sing with joy because God is with us, because God is the rock of our salvation, because the Almighty God reigns. Assignment to sing. You with me? Very good. But as it was in the days of Moses, there's a challenge. There's a difficulty. Let's keep reading. We'll see what it is. So we read the first five verses of Psalm 95. Let's read the second half of Psalm 95, verse 6 through 11. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the God our before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. The assignment is to sing with joy. The challenge is the wilderness. On the way to the land of promise, they had to walk through the wilderness, and so it is with us. So it is with us as we walk closer and closer, as the day is nearer than it first was, as we edge closer and closer to the place our bodies can rest, to our material salvation, as we get closer, closer, we have to walk through the wilderness. That's where Moses had to lead his people, and that's how it is for us. What is the wilderness, you ask? The land filled with serpents and scorpions. The wilderness, the place in which the serpent himself, the devil, waited for Jesus to test him. The wilderness. What is the wilderness? Have you ever thought, my oh my, I didn't know that the Christian life was going to be this hard? That's the wilderness. I did not know that parenting as a Christian was going to be this hard. It's a wilderness. I didn't know marriage as a Christian was going to be this hard. Wilderness. Difficulties in where it seems like materials are lacking, Perhaps it seems like money is lacking, money problems, health problems, the wilderness, hardship. That is what makes it difficult to sing. To sing with joy in your heart when there's trouble, it makes it harder. That's the challenge, right? Well, the psalm is here to help us with this. Where shall we begin? You know what? Before we get into it, I have to address what I read here. This is the end of the psalm, what I just read. Those 5-6 verses I just read, that's the end of the psalm. And once more, it says, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did for 40 years. I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray and they have not known my way. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest, period. That's a hard stop. That psalm ends with a book, okay? And I feel like I should say something about that, right? I mean, that is, if I had to say something harsh to someone or something serious, that's not actually how I would do it. I probably would say the hard thing and then follow it up with something nice and warm. You know what I mean? But here in this case, it ends with a book. And I think it's supposed to. It's supposed to be that attention-grabbing, like, pay attention. Again, he's talking about something that happened, and we'll get to that in a little bit. It happened at Massa, at Meribah. I'll get into all that. It's Exodus chapter 17. But before I do, I want to tell you that this warning, that's what it is, this warning is not only about what happened to them at Massa, Meribah, Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17. It was about them, but it's really about us. It was about them, but it's written down for us. In fact, that exact line, don't harden your hearts. I swore in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That line is quoted in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4, read it. I think multiple times, actually. Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about Moses and the days of the wilderness. He says that they all with Moses were baptized by the sea, it's the Red Sea. Just as we are going to be doing some baptisms today, they had an Old Testament baptism. They were baptized by the sea, 1 Corinthians 10. But with most of them in the wilderness, God was not pleased. With most of them, he was not pleased. And actually what it says, New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, with most of them, he was not pleased and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. But these things happened to them as examples and were written down for us. We on whom the end of the ages have fallen, meaning it was for us. So, all that to say, this attention-grabbing warning is something we should hear. We sang it last week. It's fitting. We sang it last week. Our God is an awesome God. The judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom, the mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I'm hoping that we have not too quickly forgotten. Our God is an awesome God. As much as his love and salvation should be held, the judgment of God is something that should also be not dismissed, if you know what I'm saying. And that's what this is saying. Ooh, okay, I hear you. There's a serious warning here, but, what's actually the concern? What are you actually warning us against? What is the devil trying to do in the wilderness on those days when things aren't working out the way that you thought or hoped? Okay, now to answer that, we're going to look at the passage again. He says, on the day of testing, what your ancestors did in Massa, in Meribah. Once more, that's Exodus chapter 17. But we can't start there. We have to go back to understand. If you want to understand Exodus chapter 17, you got to go back to Exodus 14. And what I'm going to tell you right now, I hope, sounds very familiar. Because I talk about it a lot because it's so instructive for us. So I hope as I start talking, I hope you think, oh yes, I've heard this a bunch of times. He always talks about this. I hope you think that because that means you're hearing what I'm saying. Exodus chapter 14. The people of Israel had been called out of Egypt. Moses was leading them, and then Pharaoh changed his mind, and he starts charging them. Pharaoh's army is coming for you, and you're running away from them, and you hit the banks of the Red Sea, and now you're surrounded, right? Now you're surrounded. There's no hope apart from a miracle. And that, for the believer, is a great place to be. There's no hope apart from a miracle. Perfect, no problem. And what happened at the Red Sea? You know, the Red Sea opened. And on dry ground, Moses and the people of Israel walked through. And eventually, the Red Sea swallowed upon the enemies. That's Exodus chapter 14. God saved them. And Exodus chapter 15 begins in a way that you'd probably expect. It's not on the screen, but I'll read the first two verses of Exodus chapter 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. That's essentially the same song. That's the same song, Psalm 95, isn't it? I will sing for joy to the God who saves me, the God who's above all gods. It's the same song. They were singing it, right? Okay, perfect. Of course they were singing it. They walked through the Red Sea. For 21 verses in Exodus chapter 15, they sang that song. For 21 verses, they sang of the joy of the Lord. For 21 verses. But then you get to verse 22, and the song ends. Verse 22 says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? They stopped singing when they ran out of water. They stopped singing when they ran out of water, and the place is called Marah, which means bitter. In other words, their circumstances became bitter, and then their hearts became bitter. And that is what the wilderness is seeking to do. On this day, the wilderness won. Wilderness won, people of God zero. Circumstances became bitter. They stopped singing. And what happened? Exodus chapter 15, what happened at the end of the chapter? God provided water for them. Okay, problem solved. Once more, there was no hope apart from God, but that didn't turn out to be a problem because God helped them. That's Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 16, they run out of food, okay? Similar circumstance, God saved them twice now, the Red Sea and here. They ran out of food. What did they do? They grumbled. Circumstances became bitter, their hearts became bitter. They failed to sing. Exodus chapter 16. Once more, God miraculously provides food for them. No hope apart from God? No problem, because you have God. Okay, turn the page. Exodus chapter 17. And that's where this psalm, Psalm 95, is specifically pointing to. Meribah, Massah, Exodus chapter 17. What happened there? They ran out of water again. In the desert, they ran out of water again. And what did they do? Their hearts turned bitter. Specifically, this is what they said. If you go back and read it. They said, is the Lord with us or not? They were headed towards the land of material blessing, towards the land of material salvation. But they were refusing the internal salvation that God was trying to give them. The internal salvation that says, God is taking care of me. God is always taking care of me. God always will take care of me. Why? Why does God give such a strong warning when he says, don't harden your heart like they did? Because the very gift that he wants to give us is this rest now. Rest now for our souls. So when trouble comes, we can say, no hope without God, no problem. God's with us. God's taking care of us. Oh, there's no water in the wilderness. There's no water in the desert. For other people, that would be a major problem, but not for us because God's with us. Oh, it's happened again. Again, no water. We've been through this. God is with us. God is taking care of us. There's no reason for us to stop singing this song. It is rest that he had been trying to give them, a rest that transcends this world. And that salvation is something they were refusing. And that is why God says, don't harden your hearts. This is the salvation I want to give you now. Don't let yourself turn to bitterness, because that is turning away from me. Okay, let's summarize. The assignment, to sing with joy. The challenge, the wilderness, the hardship. How can we overcome? This is my third point for the day. How can we overcome? Let's go back to the psalm. Back to the psalm, verse 6 and 7. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So on the day of testing, on the day of the wilderness, on the day when you run out of water in the desert, which on the surface sounds pretty serious, and beloved, don't be surprised at how difficult the Christian life can be. I didn't expect it to be so hard. Well, our example is people running out of water in the desert, right? And they were expected to keep singing. So how do we do it? How do we do it? We remember just what it says. He is our God, and we are his people. He is our God, and we are the flock under his care. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. I'm going to help bring this home with a couple of the verses. I'm going to help. My goal is for us to feel this. What this is talking about, he is our God and we are his people. This is talking about who God is and who we are, our identity in him. And now I'll tell you where we're going to be headed with our next sermon series is identity. Identity, what does it mean to be in Christ? The hope that we have in us, Christ in you, our identity. Because there is something about our identity and knowing our identity that gives us power. And that's what we're looking at here. Okay? So just to know, that's where we're headed. Identity. But for now, I want to give you something. The day of the wilderness is what you know. He is our God and we are his people. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Jesus, you could say, referred to this. Jesus said it this way in the days of Jesus. He said, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. That little, it's kind of like tender flock. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Meaning, Meaning this, hear this. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's one thing to know what God has done. It's one thing to know what God is currently doing. But I want to know his face. I want to know who he is. On Christmas Eve, I asked the question, why did Jesus come and suffer for us? And the answer is because he wanted to. Meaning he wanted us. It's not just that God is going to take care of us. It's he enjoys it. He loves it. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Today, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. To know who we are, the beloved of God, that's what we're going to be headed into. Yes, of course, there's troubles in the wilderness. Yes, of course, troubles arise. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. There's something I forgot to tell you. What does God do when troubles arise? He helps us, just like he did for them. At the end of November, I told you all that we had, as a church, been suffering a little bit of financial hardship. I told you, just like it was for them in the wilderness, there's moments where it seems like resources are suddenly limited, scarce. And I told you, we had some problems. There was a $40,000 deficit. I told you, and together we prayed. God heard, and he worked in our hearts. I just counted before I came up here, looked at some emails I got. Since then, in December and in the first 2 weeks of January, $150,000 has been given to the church. The deficit is gone. And that's how it works in the wilderness, isn't it? We have trouble, and God delivers us. Because we're his people, the people under his care. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you because you take care of us. We have an assignment to sing with joy. The wilderness tries to take that joy, but we're your people and you love to take care of us. It's who you are. It's your good pleasure. Help us see that. Help us believe that. Guard our hearts from bitterness, Lord, when circumstances become bitter, because we know who you are, the Almighty God who saves us. And to you, we sing for joy. In your name, amen. To prepare us for the season we're going into as we consider the joy that comes from knowing who we are in him.